Now, it's a strange thing, but it strikes me that when I asked you what makes you happy, not a single one of you put your hand up and said, being beaten with rods and thrown in prison. Not one. So what on earth was going on with Paul and Silas? What was going on with them? They'd been lied about, they'd been arrested, they'd been beaten, and then they were put in stocks in a jail cell. They can't have been happy. They can't have been happy. But they sung God's praises. And they sung God's praises until a miracle happened, and until the doors flew open and the stocks flew open and they were free. That is joy. And I think joy starts with a decision about which way we're going to look. When Toby was up here holding a Rubik's Cube, and he noticed, or it was pointed out to him, that when he held it right up in front of his eyes so that all he could see was his problems, when all he could see was the Rubik's Cube, were you able to see Jesus? You weren't even able to see Dom, were you? No. When he had held his problems here, all he could see were his problems. And I think it's a bit like that with our problems that are bigger than Rubik's Cubes. When we hold them here, and the only thing we look at, and the only thing we focus on, the only thing that takes our attention is the problem we face, then it's very, very hard to see Jesus. And when it's hard to see Jesus, it's almost impossible to rejoice. But if we keep looking at Jesus, like Toby did when Jesus had his problems in his hands instead, when we keep looking at Jesus, then it changes how we see our troubles and problems. Now, I don't want to tell you something simplistic and dishonest. It doesn't always mean that our problems will go away. Sometimes Jesus solves the Rubik's Cube. Sometimes that's not what happens, but it still changes the way we see it. And then it's possible to have joy, even on a bad day. So Paul and Silas could have been in prison and they could have sat there and gone, oh goodness, it has all gone wrong. And they could have focused on the stocks and they could have said, life is completely rubbish. Here's another fine mess you've got me into. They could have focused on being beaten with rods and said, it's so unfair. Why did God let this happen to me? But instead, they decided to remember how good God is. They decided to remind themselves about some of the wonderful things that God had done and about who he was, the things that never change, that God loved them, that God cared for them, that he heard their prayers, even in prison, that he's more powerful than anything, that he is faithful and unchanging and gracious. And they started to sing God's praises. And that is joy. It's deciding to look at our troubles through the lens of Jesus rather than looking at Jesus through the lens of our troubles. That's joy. But joy is an interesting thing because it's partly something that God kind of does for us or helps us with. In Romans 15, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. So maybe that means I can just sit back and sort of say, fill me with joy. I don't think it works quite like that. Because if you turn over to Philippians 4, it says, rejoice. That's not a God's going to fill you up with it. It's that you've got to choose to do it. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. So that makes it sound more like it's something that I have to do, that I have to decide to do in those situations, doesn't it? It's as though God will help me, but I also have to choose to move in the direction of joy. Here's a picture for the adults. This might help you. It's a bit like steering your car. Whether you are aware of it or not, your car has power steering. Unless you've got a car from the 1950s or 60s, your car has power steering. And that means that when you decide to steer, there's something clever in the mechanics of the car that makes it far, far easier to turn the wheel. Try steering your car with somebody pushing and the engine off. I mean, it's really hard for them because they're pushing, but it's actually quite hard for you because the power steering's not there. You have to decide to go that way, but when you decide and turn the wheel, the power steering makes it much easier. Here's a picture for the young people to help you understand, because I don't suppose you've encountered power steering quite yet. It's a bit like when you ask your grown-up at home to help you with your homework. Probably they will help you. Probably. But if your grown-up is wise, they won't say, give me your homework, you go and play, and I'll do that for you. You still have to do your homework, but they will advise you, and they will help you, and they will sort of steer you in the right direction if you're doing it wrong. And it's a bit like that with joy. We have to decide, but also we have a God who says that he will fill us when we make that decision. It's like a partnership. So are you going to look at your troubles through the lens of who God is? Or are you going to look at who God is through the lens of the troubles that you're facing at the moment? Are you going to choose to look for joy?